Turner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
12. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. There is a word from the Lord. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, look up at the screen. Amen. There you will find these words. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And for just a few moments this morning, as you take your seats, I ask that you would think with me in terms of a subject, a conspiracy to destroy the evidence. A conspiracy to destroy the evidence. Thank you, ushers. On an episode of Law and Order, the police had arrested a notorious mob boss and charged him with murder. They had a closed and shut case because they had recovered the murder weapon, and the mob boss's prints were on the gun. But because this mob boss was connected, even through the ranks of the New York Police Department, a scheme to destroy the evidence by placing a bomb in the evidence room of the precinct had been devised. During the court proceeding, some of the members of the mob family were in court, and they were laughing and they were celebrating because they knew with a certainty that the judge would ultimately have to throw the case out, because in their minds, the evidence had been destroyed. However, right in the midst of their laughter, right in the midst of their celebration, the judge sounded his gavel and said, I need order in the court. The judge said, I am aware of last night's attempt to destroy the evidence, but what you all did not know is that because of the nature of this trial, several weeks before the trial, the evidence was moved from the evidence room to the courthouse, because we have to make sure in these types of cases that we protect the evidence from evidence tampering. I said all of that, my brothers and sisters, because I want to suggest to us today that as it relates to God's power and his ability to do all things, I want to suggest to us today that you and I are the evidence. As a matter of fact, if someone were to ask for evidence of the fact that God is a healer, I just wonder if there is anybody in this room who can say, right here, Pastor, I'm evidence of the fact that God is a healer. If someone were to ask for evidence of the fact that God is a way maker, I wonder if there's anybody in this room who can say, over here, Pastor, I'm evidence that He's a way maker. Because he brought me through, and he didn't just bring me through, but he brought me out. Well, if it is true that in the justice system, a judge would take the extra caution to protect the evidence, then how much more is it true that our Heavenly Father will go to even greater lengths to protect us? Is there anybody in here who's happy to know that you are the evidence of what God is able to do? And just as the judge protected the evidence in that murder case, is there anybody in here who's sanctified and happy and you know that God is looking out for you? John chapter 12 is a very exciting and interesting passage because John chapter 12 is filled with transformational turbulence. In John chapter 12, we see Jesus showing up just 6 days before the Passover. He comes to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And while he is there, he is reclined at the table. The record is Martha is serving the table. The record is that Mary is making a sacrifice to Jesus while he is at the table. The record is that Lazarus is seated beside Jesus at the table. It's interesting, y'all, because just a few days earlier in the previous chapter, John chapter 11, it opens by talking about the fact that Jesus is preaching and teaching with his disciples, and a messenger comes to inform him that his friend whom he loves, Lazarus, is sick. Jesus, you Bible readers will remember, deliberately delays. Tell your neighbor, he deliberately delayed. He creatively conceals the reality of Lazarus's condition. He waits, the Bible says, until Lazarus is dead. And when Lazarus is finally asleep, as Jesus puts it, he tells the disciples that we've got to go back to Bethany. But there's a problem. Because Jesus had just previously, in John chapter 10, been run out of Bethany. And so the concern was, Jesus, if you go back to Bethany, you're going to be killed. And you Bible readers will remember that it was Thomas, who is later called Doubting Thomas, who stands up and says, well, if he's going to die, let us go and die with him. As they make their way, all this crazy way, as they make their way back to Bethany, as they make their way, they're headed into harm's way, and when they arrive, Martha approaches Jesus and says, had you been here, my brother would not have died. If that's not bad enough, when they get further into the city, Martha's sister Mary comes with the same bad news. Had you been here, my brother would not have died. And y'all, Jesus does something that is very Jesus-like. He simply says, show me where you laid him. I said, that's very Jesus-like, isn't it? No matter what the problem, no matter what the situation, come on, how many times is it that we go to Jesus sulking and crying and sad and depressed, telling Jesus all about our problems and all about our troubles, and Jesus says with great confidence, show me where you laid him. Now, there's a challenge there because when he comes in contact with Martha, Martha says, I know I will see my brother again at the resurrection. Y'all, Martha was being theological. Amen, amen. But Jesus straightens her out by saying, you're waiting for the resurrection, and you don't realize you're talking to the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live again. But while Martha was being theological, her sister Mary shows up and she's being biological. Because she says, look, Jesus, I know you're a carpenter and you work with wood, but look, I work with people. And let me tell you that he's been dead for 4 days. And so Jesus, he's not just dead, but biologically, he's decomposing. Do I have a witness here today? which means that his sickness has taken him out of here, and now your delay in showing up has given the enemy enough time to evaporate all of our hope. Anybody in here ever been in a situation where you lost all hope? It seemed like the Lord took so long that all of your hope was gone. Well, let me say it again, that somebody in this room, maybe you've been in that kind of situation. You knew that your back was up against the wall. You knew how much time you needed for things to work out. You knew that if God didn't move and move in a hurry, there was no possibility of anything happening. But meanwhile, when everybody else had said ashes to ashes and dust to dust, while everybody else was throwing flowers on the casket of your life, while everybody else has bid farewell to the momentum you once had, Jesus shows up. And he says, now that you've said goodbye, show me where he is so I can say good morning. The old preachers used to say that it was a good thing that Jesus was very pointed and specific when he called Lazarus by name. The old preachers used to say that had he not called Lazarus by name, had he just said, come forth, everything in the grave would have got up. Oh my, how many of you know that we serve a God who's able to speak life into whatever situation we have? And I'm so glad that he's omniscient. He knows all of my problems. He knows all of my troubles, because guess what? Sometimes I can't put it into words. Sometimes I don't know just how to tell him what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through, but somebody ought to be glad that he knows. He knows what you're going through. But then look at verse 9, because what we discover is that the religious leaders of that day, they're upset with Jesus. They want him dead. And now, you know, it was all right when he turned water into wine. You know, that was one thing. Amen. That didn't really get noised abroad a whole lot. But now he's gone and raised a man from the dead. And so when you look at verse 9 of this 12th chapter of John, it says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. So here it is. They're at the house. They're at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house, and all these people are coming from miles around. They're coming, and guess what? The sad reality is that some of them, many of them, are not coming to see Jesus. They are coming because they want to see the man that Jesus raised from the dead. And is there anybody here today who understands that's why you got to try to live a life that's pleasing unto God? That's why you got to try to walk right and talk right, because many times folk aren't here to see Jesus, and some of them can't see Jesus for looking at you. Do I have a witness today? That's why your praise needs to be right. That's why your praying needs to be right. That's why your living needs to be right, because many times folk will not see Jesus because they're too busy looking at us. Tell your neighbor, we're the evidence. So they wanted to kill Lazarus now. They wanted to kill Jesus, but amen, that was a little difficult. They couldn't do that until it was time. But they said, right now we have an immediate problem. We got this man that Jesus has raised from the dead, and he's evidence of his power, and we need to kill Lazarus. We got to kill Lazarus, because when people see him, they celebrate Jesus. Is there anybody here who's willing to admit that you are evidence? That you are a walking, talking advertisement of what God is able to do? And you realize that the devil wants to damage your witness. That's why your haters keep scandalizing your name. That's why your enemies want to damage your reputation. The devil in them wants to destroy the evidence of what God is able to do. That's why every chance you get, you ought to let somebody know, yes, he healed my body. Yes, he paid my light bill. Yes, he got me the promotion. Yes, he helped my child get in college. I'm a walking, talking billboard that's announcing the fact that there is nothing too hard for God. Where are my witnesses? Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning? Where is the evidence? Where's the evidence that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all? Where is the evidence? Where is the evidence that though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? Where is the evidence? Where is the evidence? So they wanted to kill Lazarus. Now, y'all, I could have handled this a whole lot better if the people who wanted Lazarus dead were in the mafia like the men in my introduction. I could have handled it a whole lot better if the ones who wanted Lazarus dead had been street folk. Y'all don't hear me this morning. I could have handled it a whole lot better if the ones who wanted Lazarus dead were drug dealers and drug addicts and prostitutes. But what bothered me is that these people who want to destroy the evidence of what God can do, they are preachers, deacons, choir members, ushers. Tell your neighbor, they're church folk. And is there anybody here who's discovered that many times the folk who will kick you when you're down are other church folk? Can't say amen, say ouch, but say something. We're supposed to be the ones who promote the goodness of God. We're supposed to be the ones who want to be a light in a dark world. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth, but many times we're our own worst enemies. Let one of your neighbor's children get in trouble and watch how they get on the phone. Watch how folk email and text and talk about you and talk about your child and what you should have done and how you should have raised them. But I've come by to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that what goes around comes around. I've come by to remind you that you shall reap what you sow. You better be careful how you put your mouth on somebody else's children, because it's their children today, but just keep on living. We got to do better in the church to promote the gospel and the goodness of God. We've got to do better in the church. But there's something else I noticed about these folk who wanted Lazarus dead. They were kind of slow, Deacon Smith. They had to be special. They had to be dumb. Amen. Because, why do you say that, Pastor? Because if Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead one time, what would make them think he can't do it again? Tell your neighbor, he can do it again. Come on, if he healed you one time, he can do it again. If he delivered you one time, he can do it again. If he helped you out in financial distress one time, where are my witnesses that he can do it again? If he made a way out of no way one time, he can do it again. How do you know it, Pastor? I know it because our God specializes in doing the impossible. And one songwriter said he can do what no other power can do. They wanted to destroy the evidence. They wanted Lazarus dead. But I'm so glad that our God is an expert at protecting the evidence. You see, there's somebody in here today, even on your job, you know your enemies and your haters, they did everything they could to try to get you fired from your job. And that's why, my brother and my sister, when you get to work in the morning, you ought not let what your haters have tried to do, you ought not let it steal your joy or steal your praise. But you ought to walk up in that job saying, I am the evidence that there is nothing too hard for my God. Young people, when you get to school tomorrow, there's some bullies out there who want you to give up and they want you to make bad grades. But when you get in that classroom, you ought to say, I am the evidence that though my enemies come against me, if I lean and depend on God, He will make a way for me. Is there anybody here today? If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, you will say, I don't mind being the evidence of what God is able to do. See, you might look at me and talk about me, but you don't know my story. That's why every chance I get, I gotta tell God thank you. I gotta give him praise. I gotta open my mouth and bless his name. I gotta put my hands together, because somebody didn't come to see Jesus. They came to see how I was handling my situation. And I want to be the evidence that there is nothing too hard for God. I want to be the evidence that if you trust in him, he will make a way for you. He will open doors for you. He will pick you up and turn you around. He will place your feet on solid ground. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Where is the evidence? Where is the evidence? I am the evidence. Ain't he all right? Come on and give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. As we stand all.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 336.